Welcome back to Insights for Health, brought to you by The Healthy Habit at 451 St. Clair Street in Chatham. My name's Dave, and if you're just joining us, our guest today is Dr. Sarah Selleck, naturopathic doctor. And we've been talking about digestive health, handle with care. And before the break, we talked about our digestive system and the role that each character plays from the point of even just the preparation of the food begins our digestive process, the mouth, the stomach, the small intestines. And doctor, to continue our conversation, there's between the small and large intestine, there's a valve or a sphincter. And why is that there, doctor?
Well, essentially, we don't want the waste that's in the colon, we don't want it to move into the small intestine. And again, the small intestine and the large intestine have very different jobs. So the colon, its main job is to absorb excess water from the intestinal waste, and it recycles it back into the bloodstream. And the liquid waste is essentially moving through the colon, and it dries and it forms stool, which of course is excreted. So because the small intestine and the large intestine have very different functions, we don't want the two to be accessible to one another. So there is a division.
So is there still absorption going on in the small intestine or the large intestine?
No. So the large intestine is, again, we talk about probiotics. We talk about the importance of bacteria. So bacteria do ferment on starches and carbohydrates, but essentially the role of the colon is to take that food that's come from the small intestine, it enters the colon, and what we want to happen here, there's very little nutrient absorption. What we really want to happen here is to really form healthy stool, which is later to be excreted by the body.
So the three different parts, well, actually there's multiple different parts to the large intestines. So or do they perform different functions then?
Yeah, but essentially what's happening in the colon is the same. We're seeing that movement. The colon is about 1.5 meters long, so it is quite long. But we're seeing that movement to really help with forming the stool. That's essentially the main function. But we talk about the importance of probiotics often. And probiotic bacteria, which populate the colon, they help with the digestion of of those carbohydrates. But what they're also doing is helping the immune system, so the probiotics that support a healthier immune system. They're helping with the production of certain nutrients as well and certain vitamins. So these bacteria play a very, very important role.
So it's actually converting our foods that we consume into these other metabolites.
Into energy,
okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in that process, whether the source of the food or the fuel is good or poor, can make a difference on the health of our body, for one thing, the host, and then also the colonization or the microbiota of the gut. With probiotics in the large intestine, it's working on the food and the waste that's come through. So it's changing that. Is that correct? Like we are, so it's transforming it to these other metabolites. We're getting the energy that you mentioned, but it's also, isn't it forming some sort of gases and different things as well that our bodies are absorbing and then using other places?
Yeah, so mostly what's taking place is, again, coming back to the fermentation. So the fermentation is very important because we're producing short-chain fatty acids. So essentially, people are aware that dietary carbohydrates, they're fermented by the gut bacteria in the large intestine to make energy. And the energy is essentially, they're formed from these short-chain fatty acids such as acetate, butyrate, and valerate. So these are energy sources for us as people, but also these are energy sources for other bacterial species that are within the gut environment.
And is that where the serotonin is produced?
So we know that neurotransmitters, about 3/4 of neurotransmitters, are produced in the gut. So if we look at dopamine, 50% of dopamine is produced in the gut. We know with serotonin, that 90% or some sources say 95% of serotonin is made in the gut. So I think it's pretty amazing to hear about the gut-brain connection and that these neurotransmitters, while many people would think that they're produced in the brain, many of them are produced in the gastrointestinal tract.
Yeah, and the GABA as well. I mean, that's another one. But so, like, it's all with this fermentation process with the probiotic and having the right source of fuel for it to do the job to produce these things that benefit our health to the maximum.
You got it. Exactly.
So with an unhealthy gut, so the opposite's happening. I mean, if we got the wrong fuel, we have a dysbiosis, I guess that's what they call them, the imbalance of the gut bacteria. So we're going to get negative results from that.
Yes. So we're hearing more about dysbiosis for the listeners that don't know what that is. That's essentially an imbalance of the microbes in the gut environment. And what happens with dysbiosis, I think the main issue that we're seeing is there's inflammation. And inflammation in the gut can trigger problems throughout the body. So we really want to be mindful of the importance of maintaining a balance of these gut microbiota through diet, through supplementation, through reducing stress, because that's really going to help with reducing inflammation in the body. And I mean, we could do a whole show on inflammation, but you know, this pro-inflammatory state that we're seeing, it not only puts us at an increased risk of heart disease, obesity, diabetes, but also it can even affect our brain health and our brain function. So we want to be mindful again of that gut-brain connection and that what's happening in the gut can affect the brain. So as much as we can minimize inflammation, we want to do so. And really, I think that that starts with, you know, ensuring that we have healthy gut bacteria and we're doing what we can to address dysbiosis as quickly as possible.
Yeah, so that's where, I mean, a good probiotic is going to help. But then let's go all the way back to the beginning. I mean, even the food that we prepare, it has to be a good source of fuel. We can't be eating out of the box. We can't be eating fast food all the time. I mean, now and again, for convenience, that's no problem. But if it's consistently all the time, we're depriving ourselves of good health.
We sure are. And I always say the best foods for the gut really are fiber-rich foods. I know we've heard for a long time that it's important to eat. Fiber is also fuel or food for gut bacteria. So fiber can feed the gut bacteria, can ensure that we have a healthy garden in our digestive system. And that's what we need. That's what we want for optimal health and well-being. So I always encourage patients, read labels. If you are buying something out of a box, you know, look to see how much fiber it contains. Try to have more, you know, natural fruits, natural vegetables, ancient grains. Again, trying to eat these natural sources of fiber-rich foods.
What's a relatively good amount of fiber that we should have every day, doctor?
It varies. So women and men have different needs. Women really want to aim for 25 grams of fiber per day minimum, and men it's 38 grams. So normally I say if you're having between 30 and 40 grams, that's fantastic. A lot of my patients I've seen over the years, unfortunately, they're not getting that amount through their diet alone. So that's where I recommend fiber supplementation. They can add a scoop of fiber, a flax-based fiber. They can add it to their smoothie. They can add it on top of oatmeal. So there are many ways to increase your daily fiber intake. And if you need supplementation, add it in because you really want to make sure that you're getting that daily amount.
So fiber is soluble and also insoluble. There's two different forms. So it's assisting in the digestive process all the way through the small intestine, the large intestine. Can you explain what those two different fibers are, doctor?
Mm-hmm. So again, as you mentioned, we have both insoluble and soluble fiber, and both are important not just for digestive health, but for overall health. And many foods, the good news is many foods do contain both soluble and insoluble fiber. However, some foods tend to be higher in one type. So as an example, oatmeal is mostly soluble fiber, and if you think about it, it has that gel consistency, so it helps with the absorption of water. There are other dietary sources of soluble fiber, such as apples, carrots, legumes, peas. And when we compare soluble fiber to insoluble fiber, there is a difference. So I always say soluble fiber, think about absorption. Whereas insoluble fiber, it doesn't dissolve in water or break down in the digestive system. So essentially what it's doing is it's providing bulk. It's helping to strengthen and to tone the muscles of the colon. So this type of fiber is known as roughage. And essentially what it's doing is sweeping the walls of the bowel clean.
Yeah, and that the soluble fiber, it's also absorbing toxins and cholesterol, etc. Because we know that when the liver detoxifies the body, well, it runs it down into the intestines. And if that's going through the pipe along with our foods, what we don't want to do is reabsorb any of that. So that's where the soluble fiber collects that. Am I correct in my thoughts there?
Yes, you got it. Yeah. You've done your homework.
Well, yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, it's a fascinating, the whole entire body and how everything works. It's truly amazing. So, doctor, a lot of folks, they have digestive issues. And I found a quote here by the Mayo Clinic. And it said that Metamucil, Citrucel, and Fibercon don't provide the variety of fibers, vitamins, and minerals, and other beneficial nutrients. Now, I don't need you to comment on that because I don't want to get you in any sort of trouble. But this is right from the Mayo Clinic, and people are using these things to help them have better movements, to keep everything going. But there's natural fibers and there's supplemental fibers that are far better than that, aren't there?
There are a number of natural fibers, and those are typically the ones that I'm recommending to my patients. Just to give you an example, you know, a flax-based fiber supplement, it's going to help support bowel health. It might have additional healing or soothing ingredients for the intestinal tract, and it doesn't have additives and ingredients that we don't want in a daily health supplement. So I usually encourage patients to read labels and choose a clean fiber formula. In terms of soluble fiber, if somebody has looser stools, they want, again, to absorb the water. So they're probably going to do better with a soluble fiber supplement that's 100% soluble. And that's an example of that is acacia fiber. So it mixes really well into water. It has no taste, no flavor. It's a fantastic soluble fiber supplement. And then there are other options as well. Flax-based fiber supplements I tend to use with patients who are just looking for healthy day-to-day bowel movements, or maybe they're constipated and they actually need that extra fiber as well as the insoluble fiber in that supplement.
So there's lots of things we can do, Dr. A, to assist our digestive system. We talked about enzymes, we've talked about probiotics, and we've kind of concluded here with the fiber. So, doctor, we're at the end of our time. Do you have any sort of summarizing statements on digestive health, how we should handle with care?
I think that it's important to recognize the critical role that our digestive system plays in our overall health. So coming back to immune health, 70% of the immune system is in the gut. Our mental health and well-being, if we're feeling fatigued or exhausted, again, could it be an issue with nutrient absorption in the gut? People are having a lot of issues now with digesting their food well. So how can we optimize digestion? How can we help individuals? And what I see in my practice, there's really three things to focus on. Number one, stress. So managing stress and recognizing that stress affects the digestive system. Number two, supplements. So we talked about probiotics. High potency probiotics tend to work better than lower potency probiotics. Multi-strain probiotics, because diversity is so important in the gut. Enzymes, we talked about. Fiber, we talked about. So looking for the supplements, the digestive wellness supplements that you can add into your daily lifestyle to really support better digestion. And number three, last but not least, is diet. What we put into our body absolutely matters and makes a difference.
That's a great summary, doctor. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, Doctor, thank you for joining us on Insights for Health. As always, it's a privilege to have you take the time to educate Chatham Kent.
Thank you so much for having me, and I wish all of the listeners a happy and healthy day.
So we've been talking with Dr. Sarah Selick, naturopathic doctor, and as we discussed, there's the enzymes, probiotics, and fiber. We have very many options at the Healthy Habit that we can help with digestive health. If you're already healthy and you want to maintain that, or if you're having issues and you want to improve it. So, and we know it's difficult to catch all this information the first time, so to re-listen to this interview, visit thehealthyhabit.ca, click on interviews, and then scroll down to digestive health. And while you're at the website, subscribe to our e-newsletter where we keep you informed of health information, product knowledge, and special offers. And if you haven't signed up for this free subscription, just to inform you that we're going to be beginning our flyers for 2020, and there's going to be great offers there. So if you're on the email list, then you'll be fully aware of what's happening at The Healthy Habit. And that's at thehealthyhabit.ca. So thank you for listening to Insights for Health, and visit us at The Healthy Habit, 451 St. Clair Street in Chatham, where we help you help yourself with your health.